Ah, shit! You're listening to the James McMahon Music Podcast, and I'm your host, James McMahon, and this is a Spook Media production.
This is the world's first pop punk conspiracy theory.
It's hard to defend pop punk these days. The party is long over. The darkness taking the place of the morning sun. It's a scene littered with the corpses of fallen and exposed heroes. But while Rome fell, or at least the backstage area of Warped Tour, Mayday Parade kept on doing what they do. That's crunchy guitars and yearning lyrics. Melodies drop from heaven above. The five-piece from Tallahassee, Florida may well be, whisper it, pop punk's most consistent band. A new album they recently released, What It Means to Fall Apart, only gives weight to that defence. After you've listened to this interview with singer Derek Sanders, in which he talks openly about the band's relationship with former singer Jason Lancaster, please do consider A, rating, reviewing and subscribing to this podcast. You'll never miss an episode that way. And B, subscribing to my Substack. That's spook.substack.com. That's Spook with three O's, by the way. It feels like the UK has fallen apart in the last, well, it's been falling apart for about 5 years, really, but it feels like it's really started falling apart in the last 48 hours with various COVID variants and what's not. So, I'm going to, I don't know, I always kind of look to Mayday Parade as being a wholesome slab of optimism. So it feels fitting to be speaking to you today.
Well, I appreciate that. It's crazy right now. I know what you mean, and it's definitely worrisome. And we have all this touring coming up that now I can't help but just wonder, you know, what's going to happen. And I'd hate to have to postpone. You know, I guess I shouldn't even mention anything like that right now. But aside from that, it's just horrible that we've been through so much and so many people have been struggling, and for it to, you know, it kind of keeps feeling like we're almost past this or past the worst of it, and then, you know, swings back around, and it's really discouraging.
Totally. I went to a few big shows recently, like arena shows in the last couple of months, and it was really hard to not think, oh, I think a lot of this stuff's in the rearview mirror now, because they were real joyous occasions. And I was like sat in seats, but I was like looking down on the floor, and, you know, just people were having such a good time, and it just feels really shit that it might be ramping up again, really. But
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, we did a tour a few months back, and that was kind of the hope, was that this is kind of the return to normal. And but even that was, you know, it was difficult to get through. I luckily didn't get COVID, but I'm the only one in the band who did not get COVID on the tour. So as much as, you know, it kind of in some ways felt like, okay, we're back at it again, it still was like, well, not quite yet, you know, the way you want it to be anyway.
No, I mean, well done on not getting it. I got it a couple of months ago, and I mean, there's no point in trying to work out how I got it, because, you know, it's an airborne it's an airborne virus. But I was really surprised I did, because I've just been, you know, super careful, you know. But he says, after saying he's been to kind of a bunch of arena shows, but they were all sort of like COVID passports, you know.
Right.
Anyway, let's try and lift the vibe, because just before you got on the call, I was just editing an interview with Bob Mould for this podcast, and he was like talking about the last couple of years with him, and it's quite weird actually he's a bit of a hero of mine, and it was like, it's quite wild hearing someone who you have so much sort of admiration for and respect, whose music has pulled you through some tricky times, you know, just hearing about how sort of despairing he's been about the world recently. But anyway, I'm drawing a line in the sand right now. So yeah, I really like the new record. I guess a little bit like what I said on the way in, like, I just feel in some ways Mayday Parade are almost like kind of the keepers of the flame. Do you think that's kind of fair to say? Like, when it kind of comes to like melody and pop punk and, you know, kind of doing what you do, like, I just feel like you've reached a point now where there's a real kind of, you can rely on Mayday Parade.
Yeah, well, that's very high praise. I appreciate that a lot. I mean, that's certainly what we strive for, and that's our intention. And you know, we still love doing this. We still appreciate that we're able to do this after, you know, it's been 16 years now since we started this band. You know, it means a lot to us to be able to keep going. I guess it's kind of, that's difficult for me to say from my perspective, but I appreciate you saying that.
I think there's something as well, though, like, I'm trying to work out how to sort of ask this question without it sounding super sort of salacious, because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not interested in that stuff, but it feels in a way that, like, you know, there's a lot of what I associate with like pop punk of being kind of joyful or optimistic, and you know, like the best stuff's always had a bit of like wistfulness in it as well, but it does kind of feel a little bit like the genre, for various reasons, like various scandals and things like that, has taken a real battering in recent years. You guys have... It still feels like there's something quite wholesome about you guys. Like, how... Do you think that's fair to say? Do you think that's sort of almost in the DNA of the band?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so, for sure. And it's kind of hard to pinpoint what that is. I think that, you know, one thing that goes a long way is that the five of us in the band have been in the band since day one. And we all grew up together, playing music together. And we, you know, going to shows, and we were all kind of searching for, you know, those other members that were into it the same way that we were. And all the bands I've been in, you know, I met Brooks, the guitar player of Mayday Parade, when I was 12. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, that I've wanted to do this since I was 10 years old, and my older brother started a band, and I really just was you know, dreamed of playing in a band and taking it seriously, and was trying to kind of find other people that felt the same. And Brooks was the first person I met that really kind of, you know, had the same attitude towards it. And then we were in many different bands together, and it was sort of the same thing. We were trying to find those other people that we just kind of clicked with in the same way. I think probably the same is true for the other guys in Mayday Parade and the different bands that they were in. And then we had that first band practice, and it was truly just kind of a phenomenal moment. It was a magical moment of like everything kind of falling into place for the first time. And so I think that, you know, we're all so close. Like, these, you know, the guys are my best friends. They're my brothers. We've experienced everything in this band together. It's a pretty rare thing, I think, for a band to go 16 years and not have any members come and go along the way. I think that's, you know, as part of it. It's also, you know, as I said before, the fact that we genuinely love this and appreciate this. And I think a lot of it is connecting with people. And, you know, I make it a point to go out after every single show that I'm able to anyway. Sometimes festivals and things like that are a bit different, but, you know, any sort of club tour we do, I'll go outside after every show and talk to people and, you know, hear their stories and you know, they'll tell me ways that we've helped them, or, you know, show me their tattoos or whatever. And I think that is really great for both of us. You know, one, I think like it's you know, to connect to a fan base that way, you end up, you know, kind of strengthening that core, and you have people that'll stick around and come back to the show after show. But it's also great for us to just kind of, you know, keep us humble, and also keep us, I feel like it makes me want to keep going. It makes me want to do better. It's like a, you know, you sort of feed off each other's energy, and it's a really neat thing. But
I guess other than the word wholesome, I mean, it's kind of weird. It's like, I don't know. Like, you know, you didn't kind of bat that back when I said that word, and I think some bands would maybe take that as a criticism. You know, they would maybe say, and don't get me wrong, you know, I mean, I want music to be like a, you know, a big palette of colours and characters. But at the same time, there are bands that I know that if I said, oh, I think there's something really wholesome about your music, they would maybe think, this is not what I dreamt of being when I was a teenager. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that is a wonderful compliment. And, you know, I feel like, and I don't know, you know, it's, again, with speaking about myself and my band, it's kind of tough to know, you know, what to say, but I feel like none of us are you know, divas, or we're not like, you know, rock stars, or like, you know, we're very like down to earth people, who just love playing music. And, to me, like being kind is one of the most important things, in the world. So I think that, no, that's a wonderful quality. And I think that, you know, being wholesome is absolutely, for me personally, and I could probably say for the band as well, definitely something that we strive for.
I'm into that. I guess the other word other than wholesome though, is I would probably say like reliable, right? Or consistent is maybe a better word. Do you ever feel like, and this, you know, this isn't supposed to be like a leading question or in any way disrespectful, because I've paid you compliments already. But do you ever kind of look at the history of the band and think, oh, there was maybe a moment that we could have blew up more than we did? You know, like it feels like we're Mayday Parade, like you make a record, it's good, it's loved by, you know, a significant percentage of people. But there are those bands like within the same scene that maybe blew up more and played bigger rooms or got on the cover of magazines more consistently or what have you.
Sure.
Do you ever think there was like kind of a fork in the road that, you know, maybe you took that you could have taken another one? Or,
well, you know, it's tough to say. On the one hand, I think that one thing about our band, and this is me just kind of, I guess just, you know, truly being honest about it, I feel like we're not, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying about none of us being, you know, rock stars or divas or like big personalities. Like we're kind of, to be completely blunt, we're kind of a boring band, I feel like. and that's okay. Like, to me, that's okay, because I feel like we, you know, we realize that and we acknowledge that, and we're not, you know, trying to be something that we're not. None of us have, you know, big flashy personalities. And I feel like sometimes that's a pretty key ingredient to those bands that have that, you know, major success is, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. And obviously the music has a lot to do with it as well. But when that's kind of coupled together with a big, you know, personality, that sometimes can, you know, kind of rocket you, you know, up to, you know, fame or stardom or whatever. And I just don't feel like any of us have that. But again, I feel like it's okay. And I don't, you know, I don't know that any of us, you know, want that necessarily. I mean, obviously we'd love to be, you know, as big a band as we could, but, you know, not at the sake of, you know, pretending to be something that we're not. So I think that's part of it. And then also here, and this is, again, me just being completely honest, and I don't know that I've ever said this, you know, in an interview or anything before, but I sometimes wonder or think that if Jason hadn't left the band when he did, that perhaps, you know, the trajectory could have gone upwards a bit more. He just, you know, was or is such an incredibly talented person. And, you know, it's unfortunate that things happened the way they did. And, you know, for a while there was some animosity and you know, some hard feelings, but that's all, you know, well gone now. And we're all friends again. And I'm not saying that I don't think there's really any chance that we'll, you know, end up getting, you know, back together or anything, where we're having Jason join the band. But sometimes I do think that just, you know, there, A Less Than Romantics is still, you know, arguably our most successful album and our most loved album. And a lot of that, you know, Jason had a heavy hand in that. So I do think that perhaps, you know, if we were able to have worked things out and had him stick around, maybe things would be different. But, you know, of course, you never know with that kind of stuff.
I mean, I feel a little bit like I'm stirring the pot here, but there's, you know, you were saying about things had been bitter, you know, things were bitter for a while. And I mean, that's totally understandable. But that, when did that kind of, when did you feel like that thawed? There was the thing with Kenneth Mount when he was calling you out on Twitter for, you know, maybe not giving Jason the props he felt like he deserved. And that was 2017, so it wasn't that long ago.
Right, yeah. You know, it took a while, but I feel like, yeah, there was a moment, there were a few years where, you know, if I saw Jason, I never had any hard feelings towards him, but I know that he probably had some bad feelings towards us. And there was a while there where, you know, we wouldn't have spoken to each other, if we were in the same room. But then we just, you know, I didn't see him for many, many years. I guess it would be relatively recently, about 2 years ago or maybe 2.5 years ago, somewhere in that ballpark. We did a show for two local bands in Tallahassee. It was actually the two bands that kind of split up and came together to form Mayday Parade. And, you know, I was the singer of one of those bands and Jason was the singer of the other band. And we talked about doing a show together and I reached out to him and he was into it. And so we played a show in Tallahassee and then we came up together and did, played Jamie All Over together. And that was the first time I'd seen him. And, you know, at that, I don't really know, but probably 7 or 8 years at that point. And I think we just kind of both had grown a lot and had put so much of, you know, the past behind us. And, so I think it was kind of a gradual thing, but once we came together to do that show, you know, that was when it really felt like, okay, there's absolutely, you know, no hard feelings here between either of us.
I think sometimes, you know, I'm a bit of, I don't know, I'm really interested in sort of people, really. I suppose that's kind of like my thing, you know, more than like politics or whatever. Like, I'm just interested in people and what makes them tick and you know, how we can all kind of get on better with each other. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm a saint, and there have been times where the thought of people has just made my blood bubble. But you kind of get to a point with certain things in your life where you just think, it just goes, you know, it just fades. And, yeah, no, it's good. It's good that there's that, especially, you know, when you've been creative together, because it means that you can look back at your history, legacy, catalogue, whatever you want to call it, and feel, you know, feel good about it rather than feeling sad.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's healthy to you know, not hold on to that, you know, resentment or any of those hard feelings. And I'm super grateful that we have got to this point where you know, I'm truly, you know, happy for him and everything that he does, and it seems that the same is true on his end as well.
Oh, brilliant, man. Brilliant. So the new record, I mean, I thought, you know, when I first was sent it, I thought the title must have been a reference to the situation in the world at large.
Yeah, that's that is pretty much what, you know, and that's actually, I guess, even directly where it kind of came from after we recorded the album. We tend to take a while to, it's hard for us to kind of agree on an album title, and we kind of drag our feet with that kind of stuff. And, you know, we had been kind of batting around a handful of different ideas. And then we did an interview with Jess Bowen from the drummer of the Somerset. And I mentioned something about us being in the studio when the world fell apart or whatever, when the pandemic kind of broke. And after that interview, Jake kind of was like, hey, something you said there, you know, kind of gave me an idea. And we started kind of just, you know, brainstorming on that, and we settled on what it means to fall apart, and felt like that was just kind of appropriate with, you know, the times right now. And then I don't know if this is, you know, too personal for me to share or not. And the timing of all this is just kind of crazy. Not too long after that, I started the process of going through a divorce. I'm actually still, in the process of going through a divorce. And so I feel like truly, you know, I have never understood, you know, what it means to fall apart more than I, you know, currently, you know, kind of do. So it's kind of crazy how that all worked out that way. But And we don't have to, you know, get into it much, but I'm definitely doing a lot better. It's been 8 months, since my, you know, wife and I split up, and, it was definitely an incredibly difficult, you know, the first few months were, you know, the darkest period of my life. And, but, I'm certainly doing a lot better. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that, man. I mean, I think it's in a way, like the whole situation has almost been, you know, sometimes I have sort of felt a little bit like, I don't know, almost like I'm sort of in a Petri dish. I've had some big things in the, you know, in the last couple of years, some health stuff. And it's just, you know, I've had people pass away during this time as well. And, you know, still kind of waiting really to do the things that you feel like you need to do to heal from that or to remember people in the correct way. It's just weird. It's just, it's more than just a, it's more than just a virus in the air, you know. It's just been just such an extraordinary time that amplifies difficult emotion.
Right. Yeah. It feels like it's, there's seems to be so much that's going on, and both, you know, just with the world at large, and then as well as just, you know, personally for me, and I know for so many people, it's been just a real struggle. And definitely it makes it hard to be hopeful, you know, about the future, but that's what you got to try and do at least, you know?
Yeah, totally. I just need to apologize for the sort of the Grand Theft Auto scenario that was going on outside my window there. I always have this thing, like, you know, I kind of record podcasts in my dungeon, as I call it, of Castle Spook. There's like a little kind of sweet spot of the day, which is around about now, where it just feels like my local area just descends into mayhem. And it's not really like that. It's just as a, I must start telling PRs that this isn't the greatest of times. But,
yeah. Oh, it's all good. No worries.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know, at least listeners to this podcast can be reassured that, you know, their services are doing their job. all being well and good though, you know, trying to find some hope and optimism, all being well and good. When can people from the UK expect to see you?
Yes. So we're coming over. I think we leave the very end of May, going into June. We'll be in the UK and Europe for about 3 weeks or so. I should know this stuff better, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's with real friends and As It Is, and we'll be doing the self-titled anniversary tour, which technically at that point will be the 11-year anniversary. We tried to do all that this year, but weren't able to. That's kind of the first half of next year is all of, we're doing, you know, North America and then Australia and then UK and Europe, playing the self-titled front to back. And I'm so excited about it. I love that record. That's probably my favorite record of ours. And I've been kind of looking forward to this tour for years. So it's going to be incredible to get back over there. You know, we were there for Slam Dunk not too long ago, but other than that, it's been a minute. It's been a couple of years since we've been through. So I've missed it, and I'm very much looking forward to being back over there.
I mean, it always feels a bit like the UK has a, you know, it's I don't like kind of that kind of industry talk of territories, but it does always feel like the UK has a sort of special relationship with May Day Parade. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've at this point, I don't even know how many times it's been, you know, over a dozen times that we've been over there, probably closer to 15 or so times. And that's one of the coolest things about doing this. You know, it's one thing to tour in your home country and see things grow, but to also be able to go to these, you know, other places and, you know, be across the world and feel like you're, you know, pretty far from home, but to have, you know, people and to see that fan base kind of grow and, to feel that energy is an amazing thing. And, it's definitely different. You know, I feel like the crowds in the UK are different. Like playing a festival in the UK feels different to me than playing a festival in the US. And, I feel like people are, you know, less hesitant to enjoy themselves even if they don't know the band or the song, maybe. You know, even if they're just hearing you for the first time, they might, you know, jump around and just have a good time. And I don't know, there's something really cool about that.
Yeah, no, I really did, you know, without being like too disparaging of the US, like when I went to a few, you know, when I got to a sort of a point in my career as a music writer of going to some festivals in the States, I did think, oh, this is a very different experience to what it is in the UK. I think there's just something about our music culture, which is just very kind of hinges on like discovery, or, you know, just people go to festivals and want to find stuff, but they also just want to sort of experience things and not really I don't mean in kind of like a druggy, oozy way, but they kind of want to get out of their head. You know, they want to get out of the sort of day to day. That's what kind of festivals are for them in a way.
Yeah. I think it's like in the US, I feel like some people are overly concerned about like what's cool. Like they want to make sure that they look cool or that they like the cool bands, where I feel like there's less of that kind of attitude over there, which is really awesome.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, listen, if you do get over here, and I'm just trying to think of what kind of supernatural gumph I can kind of, what kind of spell I can perform to kind of help contribute to that. But when you do get over here, look out for an overweight, bald man with glasses in the front row cheering you on, because I do think that you are a band that deserve all of the good things in the world, Derek.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Well, yeah, look, we'll be in touch, and we'll get you, if you know, into the show. And if you want to come back and say hello, or go grab, I don't know if you drink, but go grab a pint or something, that'd be great.
Definitely after the last 2 years, I think that I will have a drink. So.
Yeah.
Well, that was episode 33. Thanks to Derek for the chat. Thanks to Hayley Connolly for hooking us up. The theme tune is by the band Jobbers. And I'll see you next time.